time goes by. I wonder why the sky is blue and life is forever. Seasons go by, and so do I. Travel through time, senses go blind. This is the world, and it feels so surreal. Never know here, and change again.
Welcome to The Real Deal. Glad you're all here today. I'm sure you're familiar with the show. If you've been listening to The Conservative Liberal, you know my show. But, you know, the time comes when you have to say, you know, I think it's time to make a change. And change is good. I mean, Obama won by going and running on the change factor. So my change is only going to be in the renaming of my show. I'm renaming it from The Conservative Liberal, which I will always and always be, always will be, The Conservative Liberal, to The Real Deal. I think that I like change. I think we all like change. Change can be good. Change can be bad. And I came up with this new title, and I thought, you know, this would be a great name for my new show. I don't think it's being used anywhere, so that's what I'm going to be using. I'm going to be calling my show The Real Deal. So what we do here is I just jump in and I start talking about all the different things that are going on in the world, all the things that I find fascinating. I think in a world that is filled with amazing, incredible, enlightening facets, I think that it always comes down to what I find fascinating. Because if I try to talk to you about what I think you might find fascinating, that's not going to work. It will never work. The only thing that works is when you talk about what you want to talk about. So I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And, you know, I think that what we need to do is talk about first things first, the auto bailout. I mean, that's just on everybody's mind. That's all you hear. Well, you want to know what I think? I think bail them out. I don't see a problem in it. It's just the printing of money. Oh, what does that do? It devalues the dollar. Well, you know what? We've already done that, folks. We've done it big time by bailing out Wall Street, which produces and makes nothing. Our car makers, our auto manufacturers, they make real products that we can sell to our people here in America and to all the people around the world. You cannot let that fail. Now, why do these businesses have problems? Well, what comes out and what stands out to me is how good the companies want to be to their employees. Now, I don't know if it's because deep down they want to be really good to the employees, or is it because of the unions that make them want or force them into making making these things good for their employees after they retire. I mean, the stats are staggering. Staggering stats. I mean, you're looking at more people that are on pension plans and retirement that actually work for these companies. I don't know, it's just the numbers don't make sense. Now, people devoted their lives, they built these companies, they work for these companies, they deserve something. I don't know what that should be. I mean, I think it probably should be for whatever it was agreed on. Now, I mean, if you're gonna work for something and you have a deal, I mean, I don't know, do deals change? I mean, when you go out in the world, do you find that everything is always perfect? I mean, I don't know, were these people that work for these companies, these auto manufacturers, did they have contracts? Or is it just stated and that's what, you know, goes in their pensions and this is what they're gonna get when they retire? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is as far as that goes. All I know is it's all about competition. Now, if the foreign manufacturers were to try to take care of their employees like our American manufacturers, we would definitely be on a level playing field. But we're not. And this is where we're at. It has nothing to do with the quality of the product. I mean, you take a look around. First of all, we'll start with the trucks. Nobody builds a better truck. Nobody. Big cars. Nobody builds a better big car. Oh, you could take the big Mercedes and you could say, well, it's a little bit better than maybe the big Cadillac. I don't know. I would rather drive the Cadillac. First of all, it's made in America. That's right off the bat. It's made in America. They have a new car, the DTSV, the STSV, the CTSV. Those are amazing cars. I've driven every one of them, and they are incredible. I find it hard-pressed that anybody who would drive one of those cars would run out and go the next day and buy a BMW or Mercedes. I don't know. I guess it's possible. Maybe they're looking for something a little different, you know? I don't know. I still think that there should be free markets. I'm not saying don't buy the German cars. Don't buy the Japanese cars. I didn't say that. Not saying that here. I'm just saying that when there's an opportunity to buy a car that's made in our own country, and it's worthwhile even investigating, and I think it's something that we need to consider. Let's see now. I mean, as far as what to do about the employees, I still think that there needs to be renegotiation there. I think that there may have to be some sacrifice made for the new people working today. We have to care about both. We have to take care of the people and their retirements. We also have to make sure that people have employment now. So there's, okay. So are we building too many cars? There's just too much glut on the market. Maybe it's the same thing as the housing. There's too many houses for sale. And that's the problem. There's too much inventory. So maybe we're just making too much stuff. I mean, you go into the supermarket, you go into your electronics store, there's too much stuff. Now, you would say to yourselves, what is this guy talking about? Well, we don't want to run out of stuff. I mean, we never want to run out of food. I don't know if that's possible. I mean, with 7-8 billion people here on the planet, maybe it's possible to run out of food. People, I guess in a sense, maybe everybody should, kind of do a little stockpiling. Maybe your pastas and your rices and things, maybe you should have a little backup of, some canned foods and things like this, just for the emergencies. I mean, things happen. So many things can happen. You have terrorism, which is at the top of the list. And then you have natural disasters. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is Steve Heller. And the real deal. Winter, spring, summer, fall. Gives its meaning to us all. Talking about terrorism and how that affects things in so many ways. I think there will always be terrorism. To what degree? I think it'll always be bad. Now he's probably listening and saying, this guy is some kind of negative, pessimistic guy. Well, folks, if you study the regions and you see how they breed, because they're not even really you know, human. They're insects type. You know, they breed like insects to hate Americans and Jewish people. I mean, it's just, you know, maybe other people too, but what comes to my mind is America and Israel. Those are the two most hated countries in the world when you're talking about this Islamic, fascist, terrorist type sensibilities that these people have. I said people. I don't mean to, you know, build them up and call them what they are, because they are people, but there's such a lower level of human species that it's, I think it's maybe in the form of an insect realm of some kind. We'll have to figure out, I know I'm going to come up with a name eventually of what to really truly call this sect of below human species, insectual type species. We'll just go back to that. Let's call it some kind of species. We were also talking about, I want to go back a step here and talk about, you know, being prepared for things, and as far as having, stockpiles of different kinds of, you know, food and things that might last, you know, because of, you know, disasters, natural disasters, terrorist type events. But it kind of reminds me of what's happening and how that affects kind of the economy. When I look at the economy, I say, what's wrong with the economy is people are getting in the habit right now of hoarding their money. They're being very, very, we're all, maybe I'm guilty of it too, we're all being very, very cautious of how we're spending our money. As soon as we do that, what that does is it just, everything just comes to a halt, because that's what this is all about, is that we make things for people to buy, and it could be things that we really need, staple items or whatever, and then they could be the fun things, the things that we don't necessarily have to have, but we need to have fun. Because if we're not going to have fun and enjoy our lives and bring joy, and you're saying, well, the only time you're going to have joy is if you buy things. Well, you know, we get a lot of joy from buying, using the things that we buy. So, folks, get out there and spend. I know that, you know, George Bush said to do the same thing, and we need to do that more than ever right now. We need to believe in ourselves that we can make more money after we spend it. I listened to a guy, Dave Ramsey, and he's a very, very good guy. This guy has, he's up there on the highest level. But what he does sometimes is he gets people to be too stingy with themselves. I mean, then people start, it kind of snowballs and has a snowball effect where people just, you know, they won't put themselves out there. We all need to keep putting ourselves out there. It reminds me of a famous saying said by a famous businessman, entrepreneur, Benihana. The more you spend, the more you have to make. Think about that, folks. And we'll be right back. Back to the real deal. Welcome back to The Real Deal. I am so glad you are out there listening to our show here. We do whatever we can to please. And sometimes we say things you don't want to hear, but maybe deep down you do agree with it and you don't know what to do about it. So that's where I like to talk about spirituality, religion. I happen to be Jewish. I feel like I'm a Christian in a lot of ways because I just can't get enough of the Bible stories that I listen to on all the religious stations. I find them wonderful. I think that the pastors out there who talk about these great events in our history do an incredible job enlightening me, and I'm sure a lot of you, to the ways on which to live our lives. The only problem I see with that is that I see that sometimes they want you to live up to a certain standard, and it's not going to happen. We're human beings, and human beings are not perfect. I think we should strive to be the best that we can be, whatever that means to us as an individual. I think it's very, very, a very complicated thing. We're talking, it comes down to free will. God gave us graced us with this notion of free will. Now, is free will a good thing? I would say mostly it is, but it also is a bad thing, because if you see what happens, or what has happened in our history, and what is probably going to happen in the future regarding wars, terrorism, that kind of thing, that's all brought on by man and his free will to do things that he thinks is fit for whatever reason. We just can't take that away. We'll never be able to take it away, even if we wanted to take away this free will that's embodied in us. It can't be done. It's not going to be undone. So we need to be mindful of what is best for us first, ourselves first. We always should put ourselves first. That's what I believe. Then it has to go down to our families second, and then God. I know you don't want to hear this, God. You always have a place in my heart, in my mind, and in a lot of religious sectors out there, they believe that religion and God has to come first. That's where we disagree. And that, as a human being, and as God graced me with free will, that is my right to not agree with that. So I'd like to end with me eating a piece of cheese, because it sounds like I can hear myself eating. And as simple as eating a piece of cheese can bring such joy. We need to appreciate the smallest of the smallest things that we have. All you have to do, folks, is compare what you have to what, suppose somebody had to go through in, let's say, the Holocaust, or what somebody has to go through that's been some prison cell. You have to realize that life is better than that. Now, should it make you feel better that you're doing better than somebody else? Well, there was a famous comedian who recently passed away, George Carlin. All he talked about, or most of the things he talked about, was when bad things were happening to other people, he never felt so good. He would watch the news and just look for all the catastrophic things that have happened to people. And this is what made him feel good. I know that he maybe took it to a level of, maybe it was a little sick, but, you know, I think he was on to something. So when it comes down to, if you're feeling bad, and we all do, just try to compare yourself to somebody who's got it worse. I mean, there's an old saying. I felt bad when I didn't have any shoes, but I didn't feel as bad as the guy who didn't have any feet. So I know that it's kind of sad to think about these things and on those levels, but we need to bring ourselves out of whatever we're going through. And there are times where we just can't stand it or can't handle it. We got to get through that, folks. And we got to get through it more than ever now. As a people, go out there and buy. This is Steve Heller with The Real Deal. We'll see you next time. God bless.
The seasons go by, and so do I. Travel through time, senses go blind. This is the world, and feels so surreal. Never know here, and change is here. Through a year, off seasons. Another moment here and change.